We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
I'm glad you're here. Absolutely. What kind of business are we in? We are in the good news business. And we're in the last week of our series, What's Right With You. We have been focusing all month, not on what's wrong with you, not on what you're not good at, not at what you kind of stink at, not none of those things. We're focusing on your strengths. We're focusing on your calling. We're focusing on what makes you, you, and how God can use that to change the world. Last week, we challenged you to achieve expert level success. And the bottom line to that was this: stop trying to be decent at everything and instead become exceptional at one thing, right? It can be more than one thing. But what you're doing is you're limiting your focus to the exact things that God has empowered you. He'd put you inside of you to do these things and become exceptional at those things. Today, in the final week of the series, I am excited to talk to you about bringing out the best in others. Bringing out the best in others. I used to think leadership was all about me, my strengths, my talents, my purpose, my success. As a pastor in the pastor world, it was all about my sermon. Got to think about my sermon. Sorry, I don't have time to talk about that. I'm studying for my sermon, right? These are kind of thoughts that go ahead and you freak out when you start thinking of things other than what starts with the word my. And that's where I used to think leadership was. And I worked tirelessly to improve myself, thinking that that was the key to success. Now listen, here's the truth. I did improve. Some of you are like, thank God. I did improve, but was that really success? What I want to ask you today. I couldn't help but feeling that I was missing something. I was missing something. Has anybody ever felt like that? You felt that way? You know, I'm really working hard. I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm really focused in here. I've got the thing I'm supposed to be doing. I'm working on the stuff, but it just feels like something is missing. What does that look like for you? You're focused on your career, your skills, your project, your promotion, your business, your health, whatever that thing is. And you're focused on it and you're working it. And that's not a bad thing. You know, you're actually paid to work on that stuff. It's called your career, right? You're actually, you know, if you will flunk out of class if you don't work on the assignments. We improve, but still it feels like we may be missing something. I'm going to tell you something that we weren't told about in college or high school or seminary or business school or wherever you got your education. And here it is. Self-improvement is valuable, but not enough. That's what I want you to get real quick today. Self-improvement is valuable. You better be improving yourself, and this is good. But do not ever think for a moment that it is just enough for you to improve yourself. So, you feel like something's missing. What is it? What is missing? And you know who shows us? It's a God we all know. Jesus. It's Jesus shows us this, right? Yeah, I know that guy. I'm a big fan. I love that guy. Jesus shows us. I want you to think for a moment, right here, think about the leadership of Jesus. You know he was a leader, right? Oh my gosh, the best leader ever. I want to tell you that Jesus does not just put his talents, his strengths, and his gifts on showcase. That was not what he was about. It wasn't like, and look what I can do. There was a skit on something called Mad TV. I know that's way not spiritual enough for you guys. But there was a comedy show called Mad TV. And there was this one character named Stuart. And it was a full-grown man acting like he was a child. And what was, did anybody know his number one thing he would say? He would say, look what I can do. Like kids, you know, they're always like, look what I can do. Look what I can do. I can blow snot bubbles. Look at this. It's so good what I can do. No, it's not. The life of Jesus was never, look what I could do. And if anybody could have pulled it off, it's Jesus. Because he could be like, look what I can do. He walks on water. Look what I can do. Turn water into wine. Look what I can do. They don't have leprosy anymore. Look what I can do. That Jesus has that in spades. But that was not what Jesus was about. Jesus focuses on the gifts and growth of others. And once he grows those others, then he puts them on display. And you see Jesus do that throughout his entire ministry. Hundreds of people were examples of this in 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. Now, here is what you might be thinking, okay? And I might be wrong, but I probably am on the money. Here it is. You're thinking one of two things. You're thinking, I'm just trying to figure out my own life, for crying out loud. How am I supposed to worry about others? And so that's your pushback. You're talking to me about others, but I'm just busy enough trying to figure out my week. I get that. Or maybe this one. Perhaps you have felt inadequate. And you're like, Chris, you're preaching to the wrong person. I am not leadership material. Chris, you're speaking to the wrong one. I'm not the one anyone would ever follow. I would get up there and make a fool of myself and they would all laugh. So I think most people in this place, if you aren't doing what I'm already talking about today, you're in one of those two camps. You're like the inadequate camp, or you are in, I can't do that because I'm too busy trying to figure out my own messed up world. Here is what you should know. And I say it without apology, but I say it in the sweetest way I can, Teresa. Here it is. As followers of Jesus, we are all called to be leaders. Every single one of us. Nobody gets out of this, right? Nobody gets away from this. As followers of Jesus, he wants you to follow him, right? But he also wants you to lead others. And that's very clear in Scripture. I want to tell you today that true leadership isn't just showcasing our growing talents. Instead, it's about recognizing and nurturing the gifts in others. Two Jesus examples. There are many more, but here's just two. One's in Matthew 4:19. Stop me if you've heard this one. He says, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Wave at me if you've heard that one before. It's when he's calling those fishermen to be his disciples, to be his followers. He calls them. And there's another one, John 1:42. There's a guy, and Andrew brings this guy to Jesus. And that's who the he is there. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, we also know as Peter. Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter, also the word rock. All right. You see those two examples? We're going to talk about them just for a brief second. But here is what you need to read on this real quick. Jesus see new and true potential in other. Somebody say new. Sometimes it's brand new. Sometimes like that is brand, that was not there yesterday. Something is coming out in you that wasn't there all your life. It's new. Somebody say new. And then it's true. How is it true? Because it was always your true identity. It was always your true calling. So he sees new and true potential in others. Let's go back to our examples, thinking about this. They're not just fishermen. Jesus walks up to them and says, I see you as more than just fishermen. I see you as influencing people. I see you influencing hundreds, thousands, countless generations from now. I still see them being affected by your influence. Do you see that in Jesus' words there? So that's the fisherman. What would that be like for you? That would be like Jesus telling you, I don't just see you in your current job. I see you in a promoted position. I see you doing more than you've ever done and making a difference. How many feel like Jesus would say that to you? I'm telling you today, if you've never heard Jesus say something like that to you, I pray in Jesus' name that you would hear him call you to just such a thing. How about the next one? Not just Simon, but I'm going to give you a new name, Peter, Rock. What would that be like for you? Here is what it would be like. That would be like Jesus telling you, I don't define you by what others have called you. I don't define you about who with who you were in the past and the decisions you made and what other people think about you. No, I have a brand new identity for you. You are a born again, brand new person in Jesus' name. How many believe that? That you are born again. Old is gone. Behold, the new has come. That is the plan of Jesus Christ. How does he do this? Here's how Jesus sees new and true potential in us. We should be more like Jesus. We should do that. But do we see new and true potential in others? Or are there just certain people that we see that in? Right? I want to tell you that you can see new and true potential in others, even the others that are kind of mean to you. Even the others that aren't your friends yet. Even the others that talk bad about you. Or even the others that have a life that's a little out of control. Do we see other people like Jesus sees them? Because he sees fishermen that were out of control. He sees a tax collector named Matthew that was probably cheating and swindling every person when he called him to be his disciple. He wasn't like, once you get your life right, come talk to me. No, he saw new and true potential in these people. Do we see new and true potential in others? What if the next time we saw a person by the side of the road with a sign up, we weren't disgusted, but God would speak into us and we would see a glimpse of what heaven wills for that person's life? Would that change things? Oh my goodness, yes it would. Followers of Jesus, we should see others differently. I'm going to give you a great story in the book of Acts, and this story is not preached near enough. It's about a guy named Barnabas. Somebody say Barnabas. Barnabas is known for loving God. He's a generous giver. He shows up in some just random prayer service, and he is so moved on by God. He says, you know what? I've owned this property. I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to give it to God and the needs of the church. And it blows everyone away. And a lot of people follow right after Barnabas, and they practice generosity like that. That's around like Acts 3 and 4. He's an amazing character. He's also known as being an encourager. In fact, that's the word you should really hear in your head when you hear the name Barnabas. Somebody say encourager. In fact, his name means son of encouragement. It's like encouragement had a son, and it's this Barnabas guy. You ever need somebody give you a good talking to, a good pep talk, tell you that you can do it? You need to call on Barnabas. We need that person in our life, don't we? That person ought to be in this church, right? We need to be those kind of people. So perhaps Barnabas's most important accomplishment is what happens in Acts chapter 9. Now, this is a big guy. This guy goes on mission trips and reaches other parts of the world. But what I just want to tell you, what happened, so simple, in Acts chapter 9 is probably the most amazing accomplishment of his life. What could it be? What could it be? Well, in Acts chapter 9, there was a murderer. He was a murderer. He killed people, and if he didn't kill people, he arrested people for them to kill them later. That was this guy. Can anybody name that guy? So there's a murderer, and guess what? In Acts chapter 9, this murderer who does bad things, Jesus saves him. And Jesus both blinds him and then heals him. And then Jesus says, this guy, this murderer, he has a plan. I have a plan for him and a purpose for him. He is going to take my gospel to a whole new group of people called Gentiles, people that are not Jewish, people that don't know me. He is going to take the gospel to them. That's what happens at the beginning of Acts chapter 9. This murderer finds the grace of Jesus Christ. But here's also what happens in Acts chapter 9. This guy gets saved, but the church goes, I don't know about this guy. The people said, I don't know if I want to go to Connect Group with this guy, because this guy, not long ago, stood there while they killed a young man in our church named Stephen. That's Acts chapter 7 and 6. I don't know if I want to be around this Paul Saul guy. I don't know if I want to trust this guy. In fact, I think he's probably faking, and he is going to just get in the inner circle of our church, and then we'll all be dead. He will turn us all in. And even the leaders, it seems, are a little distant from this guy. No one trusted this new convert because of his past. Oh my goodness, is there a sermon there? Don't you know that Jesus covers all your past in his blood? Don't you know that what is today doesn't have to be that way forever? It can be washed away. We're thankful for that. And we need to be those people that just anybody could walk in here with whatever past they have. And we know that Jesus Christ has saved them by grace. However, can we just get real? We are people and we fall short of that sometimes. And we're not always at our best. And we're not always like Jesus, like we need to be like Jesus. Y'all can say amen. Come on. Come on. That's us. That's us. So now we're in Acts chapter 9 and we're going to read verse 26. When he, that's the murderer, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Now here, wait, before you go there, this next verse they're about to hit. So simple. But I think it's the greatest accomplishment in a man's life named Barnabas. And this next verse I'm about to show you not only changes someone's life, it changes many people's lives. And it changes the world. And it changed us. What does the verse say? Verse 27. But Barnabas took him. But Barnabas. Gosh, thank goodness for just a but Barnabas kind of part of my story. It's, in other words, verse 26 and above, it's not working on. But Barnabas took him. The one everybody thought was a murderer. The one everybody thought, oh, he's up to no good. The other ones that said, you can't trust this guy. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So who was this that Barnabas brought? Some of you said it. It's Paul. He's also called Saul in your Bible. That's him. Who is this guy? He wrote 13 books in your New Testament. Who is this guy? He carries the gospel to new nations and new people groups. This guy taught us so much about Jesus, and some of your favorite verses came out of this guy's pen, and they jump off the page and they get you really excited today. Who is this guy? That's who the guy was. That was the murderer. And we would have all missed out had he not had a Barnabas who brought him to the apostle. Took him and brought him. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you, whoa, listen. This is not in my notes, but you listen, here it is. There's somebody whose their very life is depending on somebody taking them to church. Taking them to a connect group. Taking them to an altar to pray. Y'all hear me? Taking them to a Starbucks where you can just have a talk and somehow Jesus enters that. Somebody's life will be changed forever if you could be the Barnabas that just takes them and brings them. My God, that felt good on that. So we would have missed out without Paul and Barnabas getting together. Don't you agree? People in this story were not aware of the new and true potential. But Barnabas was aware. I gotta ask you today, here it is. Are you aware? And before you answer that, I have an awareness test for you right now. We'll know in just a few moments if you're actually aware. Audio up. The audio has to be up.
White mank.
Go! He passes. Rakani passes.
The answer is 13.
13, did you get that?
But did you see the moonwalking bear?
Go!
You see them? All right, guys, listen up real quick. Who got the right amount of passes? Who got 13? Wave your hand with me. You got it? But who saw the moonwalking bear the first time? Did you see the moonwalking bear? Did you? Most of us did not see the moonwalking bear. So we can count the correct number of passes, but miss a moonwalking bear. How can we miss something so obvious? There's a moonwalking bear. I mean, he's just right in the... It's not like he stood off to the side. He went right to the middle of the thing. He waits there for a moment, and then he moonwalks. You know why we didn't notice him? It's because we are distracted. We're looking at other things and for other things. So one more time, I'll ask you. Do we see new and true potential in others? Do we see it? Or are we counting passes? Are we counting and looking at other things that are not as near important? What is it that we are counting? What is it that is distracting us? And what is our big dancing bear that we may not be focused on? What is that? I really want you to pray about that this tonight and over the course of this week. What are the things that I'm looking at, yet I'm missing what should be so obvious and I'm called to do? What is the obvious thing that we are missing? I want to tell you what I believe it is. Here it is. Discipleship. I didn't expect like people to go, oh man, praise the Lord, that's it. No, in fact, you say the word discipleship and you might have 10 different like definitions of it and people don't understand the term. So I want you to think about discipleship like this. Helping others realize their new and true potential. Does that make sense? Another way to say it is to teach someone else what you've learned. Teach someone what you've learned about Jesus. You know Jesus loves us. Who knows that? Where's your hand? Then you teach someone else Jesus loves us. who believes who knows Jesus is a healer. Then you teach someone else that he is a healer. This is discipleship. In fact, it shouldn't be that you say a lot of churchy words and you quote a lot of scripture. In fact, I would tell you that usually overwhelms people. No, you just talk to them like you would talk about anything to anyone and just make it really simple down at their level. Church, we need to keep things simple. Jesus was simple with things. He talked about seeds, y'all. Right? He talked about things like sheep and goats, y'all. This, he kept it so simple. Church, we need to keep it simple. We need to keep it simple. Discipleship is a concept from Jesus. Now listen, if you're somehow listening to this sermon online or in the room and you have not come to faith with Jesus, and maybe you're like, I'm not so sure about all this Jesus stuff, I want to tell you something, that the disciple concept that Jesus taught and modeled, it can work in both the sacred and the secular world. Even if you're not a Christian, you ought to listen to the concept and the model and the example of Jesus Christ when it comes to taking someone and teaching someone so that they can reach their true potential. If you want to have success in the world, if you want to make the world a better place, then you need to listen up when it comes to the concept of discipleship. Discipleship is our dancing bear. Somehow we are missing it. Somehow we can come to church 52 weeks out of the year. We can hear all 52 messages, and we can come to every connect group, and we can come to all the little first Thursdays that we have. You could come to every single one of them and somehow miss it. You might know every word to the song, but you somehow missed this big dancing bear. Jesus, multiple times, commands his followers to make disciples. There's no question about it. He expects his followers to make disciples. Someone nod at me. Someone clap if you believe that's true. Jesus expects... Listen, what am I saying? I'm saying that Jesus doesn't just expect your pastor to do this. Jesus doesn't just expect the Sunday school teacher to do this. Jesus doesn't just expect, you know, a leader in the church or a connect group leader to do it. He expects every single one of us to disciple someone in our life. It's a command. Yeah. Fluent kids, do y'all know the difference between an ask and a command when it comes at home? Y'all nod to me. Yeah, somebody needs to clean their room. Command. All right. Sorry. Listen. He threw his brother on the bus. Listen. What I'm saying is this is a command. It's not an ask. It's not if you have the time. If you learn enough, then you can start doing this. If you can master enough of this Christianity, then you can do it. No. You start now. You got to start now. It's the missing bear for you. Right. So I got to ask you this. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to own this question. Are you actively discipling someone? You actively helping someone find their gifts and their potential? Are you actively trying to teach someone what you have learned from Jesus Christ? Anything like that? I want you to get that answer. And if the answer is no, Chris, I'm actually not doing that, I don't expect you to answer this, but I expect, like out loud, but I expect you this week to really come to grips with the answer. The question is, why not? If Jesus commanded us to do it, if Jesus has empowered us to do it as believers, you realize there's that whole Holy Spirit thing where you're going to be witnesses to the end of the block. Is that what it said? To the end of the block? To the end of the church pew, only on your pew. No, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. If it's on the earth, you're called there. I would tell you, if we ever colonize Mars, or find out we have already colonized Mars, we are called. Whoa, he just went down the rabbit hole there. What happened? If there are people off this earth, I'm telling you, it is our job to tell them about Jesus Christ. Do you follow that? Somebody clap if you know it's true. Let us be an entire church clapping about this. So, why would you not be discipling someone? And it can be that we make it too complicated. So let's take one moment and let's uncomplicate it. Y'all with me? Here it is. This is growing faith. It is the grow in our vision, right? Love God, grow faith, serve others, go change the world. If you are committed to Jesus Christ and serving Him here in this church, this is not optional for you. This is part of our vision that the Lord has given us. He's called us to grow faith, all right? And here's how you do that. Number one, it is starts with relationship. And sometimes relationships take time. There is a guy I met about 2 months ago at a Starbucks on a Saturday. Yeah, I would get there early, but this guy would always beat me there. He'd always be there a little bit earlier than me. And he'd sit over this chair and he would just read his book. And I walked past him a few Saturdays. And I was like, man, if this guy's going to be here every week, we should just become friends. That's how I think. That's how I think about things. But really what I said, maybe I ought to just try to know this guy so I can share with this guy. And so it started with, man, you beat me again. The little jokes. I said, man, how are you doing on your book reading? Says, I'm doing pretty good. And then I said, well, you got to pay attention because there is a book report at the end of the week. I would just kind of, you know, just little goofy little things. But I'm just on his radar. I'm not a threat. I'm just, maybe we can have a relationship one day. The Saturday, 8 days ago, he walks. I beat him that Sunday. I beat him that Saturday. I've got in there, and then he came in there, and he kind of just, he does like, I'm sitting here, and he just does this thing. He walks really close to my table. And I'm like, oh, I see you. And I just finally say, man, what is it that you're reading? And now we have a conversation happening. And I talk about his life, and I talk about my life. Fast forward, he comes to Connect Group on Wednesday. He feels God's presence at my house on Wednesday. So how does that happen? It starts a little bit at a time building a relationship. And there are some people that it will take calendar time, like years to have a relationship with them. We baptized a woman this year who it took us 4 years knowing her to get her to church. And once we got her here, she was baptized. And you know what? That I love that lady, and she's not here. And you know what? I'm still trying to build my relationship with her. I'm still trying to grow with her. It will start with a relationship. You cannot disciple anyone. You can't grow anyone. You can't mentor anyone that you do not know. You have to know them. Somebody say relationship. I'm telling you, it starts there, and it's easier than you think, and this is not just a personality thing. You don't have to be the extrovert like me to just meet someone and have a relationship with them. In fact, introverts need saving too. So introvert, find yourself an introvert. Here's a simple, I'll give you a simple one. Here it is. There's your tip, right? You go to the big meeting, you know where all the introverts are? They're on the side of the room. Like all the gregarious chatty Cathys are in the middle, but the introverts are on the side. And you know what you do? Here it is. You just walk up to them on the side and say, these things drive me crazy. And just say that to them. And they're going to be like, thank you. These things drive me crazy. Hi, what's your name? My name's... There it is. And you don't have to like, it's not crazy, but it's like you're fitting into their obvious introvert. So it's not about personality, all right? Got that. Number two, share what you have learned. You watch one, do one, teach one. A lot of corporations, Sarah's Hospital has that as a slogan, that this is how you teach someone. First, you watch me do it. Second, I'm going to watch you do it. And then third, I want you to go teach someone else how to do it. And we can use that in the church. That is discipleship. In fact, I would argue that they got that idea from Jesus. That is Jesus' model of discipleship. Because Jesus says, hey guys, follow me and watch me. And then he sends them out to do it. Now you do it. And it happens in your Bible. There's a time where he sends out 70 and they go heal people and they come back and they're so excited. And then Jesus says this, all right, now teach one. Teach one. And that's the Great Commission, to teach them everything I have taught you. So how do you do it? You share what you've learned. If you haven't learned it, you can't share it. But if you have learned it, you're responsible to share it. What you know about Jesus, you're responsible to share. So you watch one, do one, teach one. Listen, I want you to watch how we do ministry. Not just so I can have more people watch me do ministry, but so that one day you can do it. And one day you can teach someone else how to do it. Number three, recognize gifting. Because you have a relationship, because you've spent intimate time together now you can recognize things about them. They've got this kind of personality. They are really, really good at this. And now you recognize those things. It's important to recognize the giftings of others. And if you will come out and say, you know, I noticed something about you. Most people that has ever told them that is about to tell them something bad about them. You know it's true. You know, I've noticed something about you, Sophia. You are so brave. And you're willing to do anything for the Lord. And I'm so excited about that. And you're so good at serving. What are we doing right here? We're recognizing. And then we're telling that person what we recognize. Don't you think that builds people up? That grows people? Try that. Work it. And then support it. Whatever their gifting is, they need support in it. Because guess what? Sometimes we're going to make a mess of it. Sometimes we're not going to be good at it. Or sometimes we're going to be scared to start. But then you just support them. Support's not hard. Support just takes a little time. In fact, time is how we spell all of this. All of this is time. Relationship. Sharing what you've learned. Recognizing the gift. Supporting them. It just takes time. Anybody have some time they're willing to give to the kingdom of God? Managers, school teachers, business owners, Christians, is this your dancing bear? I'm telling you, this will work for you in the classroom. This will work for you on your job. This will work for you, business owner. This will work for you, Christian. Is this your dancing bear? Is this what is missing? So now let's move on to these questions. How can you apply this? How can you bring out the best in others? How can you mentor and discipline, disciple others? Or, Chris, I want to be discipled. How can I take advantage of this discipleship? If you're in this place and that just struck a chord in you, yeah, Chris, I do want to learn more about Jesus. Jesus, I want to learn more about how you can use me. That is you wanting to be discipled. Okay? We want to help you and talk to you. So how can you take advantage of it? We have one simple way we do it. Here it is. Shouldn't be a surprise. It is Connect Groups. Connect Groups is the number one way we grow faith here. Our worship service is really about getting you in tune with the Lord and loving Him, actively loving Him in every aspect of this service. That's really what that's about. In a few moments, we'll pray. This time of prayer and worship is about you loving Him more and surrendering more and hearing from Him more. But our Connect Group, man, that's where discipleship happens. That's where connection happens with others. That's where relationship happens. If you are in this church and you don't feel like you are strongly connected with someone, I've got to ask you first, are you in a Connect Group? Because Connect Group, that's where you have a relationship with people. You're eating with people inside their home. I always feel like you don't really even know someone until you've been inside their home and you've eaten bad pizza together. Thanks. Little Caesars in the house, everyone. All right. But connect groups, there's several ways to be a part of connect group. Number one, you just join one and they meet during the week and you just show up. You just show up and that's joining one. And then second, you can host one. That means that you say, you know what? I'm willing to have this in my house or in my apartment, or I'm willing to set it up to happen, you know, at a Starbucks outside sitting area or in a park nearby. But you are now hosting it, or you're leading it. Leading it means that you are responsible for it and you're helping people. You're taking that leadership approach of, I'm going to try to lead an entire group to learn something new about Jesus Christ tonight. That's three ways to serve in your connect group. The easiest one is to just join. Now, here's the thing. I know who has been to a connect group this year and who hasn't been in a connect group this year. I'm going to tell you that we're about 50-50 as a church. Could we do that better? Yeah, we could do that better. Would that affect our church better? You bet it would affect our church better. But more than that, it'll affect you better. Because that's where discipleship happens. But also, listen. That's not only where you're discipled, that's where you will disciple others. Because in that group, you'll say, well, I had a time in my life where Jesus did this for me. What are you doing? You're sharing. You're sharing. What is that? That's discipling. You get this. This is our approach. This is how we're going to do it. If you want to disciple others and you want to be discipled, I want you to make up your mind right now that I am going to be a part of a connect group. As you leave today, we have signups for our 2025 connect group. We keep it simple. We have three semesters. Sign up for a semester. It starts in the middle of January. We have a sign-up sheet here. We have a sign-up sheet in just outside this sanctuary. We have a sign-up sheet at the table, the information table as you leave. We have sign-up sheets everywhere. If you missed one, you won't miss the second one or the third one. So what I want you to do is I want you to sign up. Just say, yeah, I want to be a part. Okay? I want you to do that. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I believe that is your dancing bear. I believe that you may be focused on what your gifts are, but what you're missing is now pouring into others, mentoring others, discipling others, seeing others learn what you have learned about Jesus. Wave your hand if you've learned something about Jesus. Now, hands down. Next question is this. Wave your hand if what you've learned about Jesus is worth sharing. Oh, there it is. That's it. When I am only focused on me, my skills, my success, my job, all the me, all of that, I'm actually missing out. That's why I told you at the beginning that it felt like I was missing something. And I brought that to you that maybe it feels like you're missing something. And then we had a video of a moonwalking bear to just demonstrate how we miss things. I'm telling you, when you are only focused on you, you are missing about 8 billion other people. When we invest in others, when we obey Jesus, when we touch eternity, we leave behind a legacy. Listen, when you invest in others, you are actively obeying Jesus. You're actually touching eternal things. A little bit of heaven comes down when you invest what you know about Jesus into others. It's a heavenly moment. It's an eternal moment. We then leave behind a legacy. If I pastor a church, but nobody outlives me, I have no legacy. You should have a legacy in your life. The Jesus that you have should be in your children. The Jesus you have should start to show up in your friends and your family. What is that? That is legacy. It's eternal, and it makes Jesus really happy. Imagine a community where everyone is actively seeking to bring out the best in others. Imagine. Now picture yourself in the middle of that community. Picture yourself being some kind of part of it. Imagine what that looks like here at Redemption Church. Spoiler alert, you can be a part of it. You can be right in the middle of it. That gifting you have, you can use it right here. That story about Jesus, you can share it. That thing you've learned about Jesus, you can share that with someone else and see them come to know Jesus in a brand new way. Imagine what that looks like at Redemption Church. But don't just keep this imagination here at 2001 Independence in Plano, Texas. No, imagine what that would look like on your job. Because you can do this at your job. You could share your knowledge at your job. You can share your faith in very special ways at your job. There's never been a wall that can keep Jesus out, I'm telling you. He walked through wall. Imagine what it looks like at your school. Whatever kind of school you're in. A private school? A homeschool co-op? A public school nearby? College? You can disciple someone there. Imagine what it looks like in your home. Oh, if we ever needed to repent of something, it's the fact that Jesus Christ might not be in our home. That Jesus Christ might not be at our kitchen table and our bedroom and our living room. Imagine. I want to tell you, as I'm drawing to a close right here, y'all would all just stand. Jesus wants to use you. You have a new and true potential. So let's act on it. Here's your call to action. Number one, sign up for Connect Group. Now listen, you're probably already thinking about an excuse. I want you to push back past the excuse and just come and sign up. There is a sign up right here. I would love to see a line form as people sign up and say, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this, make this part of my life. Number one, sign up for Connect Group. Number two, identify one person and make it your mission to help them discover and use one of their strengths. Find that one person and talk to them about what you perceive to be one of their strengths. And just see what happens. Can you do that? Just see what happens. Are you willing to trust God that much? Let's see what happens when I talk to Bernie over in accounting. Somebody has a Bernie in the accounting. Just receive that. All right. Number three. Y'all smile real quick. Y'all all right smiling? Number three. 2025 is coming. Man, is anybody shocked at how quick it's coming? My gosh, slow down already. Commit to these following prayers. Right now and into the new year. Here it is. Show me God. Use me God. And I trust you God. If you don't know what to pray tonight, that's one of your three prayers. Get at least one of those and say, show me God. Show me the person. Show me the skill. Show me the purpose you put in my life. Show me God. Show me the future that you want me to have. Show me. And then use me. One of the most powerful prayers anyone has ever prayed is the prayer of use me. Raise your hand if you've ever prayed that prayer. Did you feel God when you prayed that prayer? It's a powerful prayer. Lord, let this be a place where we just pray that over and over again. And then this is a prayer. I trust you, God. See, prayer is not always I'm asking for something. Prayer is sometimes you surrendering something. And you just say, God, I trust you. And sometimes you say, I trust you, God, even when you haven't fully trusted God. It's not an all-in, all-out proposition. It's just, this is me trusting you a little more. For some of us, when we worship, we're still uncomfortable with worship. So trusting God might look like this. I love worship. Some of you, you opening up that wallet and just pulling out a single dollar is you trusting God. Make that your prayer. Make it a prayer, God, that I trust you. I trust you with my life. I trust you. These altars are open. They're going to sing. Let this be a time of worship and prayer. Let this be a time where we declare that we are going to add. These altars are open. Come on, church. Come on, let's reach out to him. Let's be with him in this place. Father, I pray for everybody watching and listening online. I thank you, God, for our entire church in this room. I thank you, God. Lord, I want you to move in us, and I want you to touch our friends online. Friend online, start to call on Jesus. Be close to him. Call on him. Surrender your life to him. Whatever you know about Jesus, friend, can you share that with someone? Can you find someone this week and share a strength with them and see a strength in them and try to develop it? God, work in our life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would move in this place, that your presence would be here, and that new people would take new steps in Jesus' name. You see what's new and true in us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord in this place. Come on, let's talk to him. Come on, let's pray for one another. In Jesus'
name. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemptionplano.com. We want to hear more from you. So be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or even our anonymous text line at 469-651-1178. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.